Join the meeting.
Etiquette for four schlemmer for sure, pass the world there. When I was thinking about giving tonight somewhat of a special shiur, although it is in the slot of our regular Wednesday night learning, but there's a little bit of a different format. So I remind myself of a Rashi in Chumash, where Rashi comments when the Torah tells us that Klai Yisrael went out to war against Sichon. So it says that Sichon was the Melech Cheshbon, the king of the city of Cheshbon. Rashi says, why is it important for the Torah to tell us not only what his name was, but who the city was, what the city was? So Rashi says to highlight two things, that Sichon was a very strong king. He was a tough man. And if Sichon would have been the king, even in a weaker city, it would have been a big challenge. The city of Cheshbon was a very, very strong city. It was a very hard city to conquer. And even if the king wouldn't have been so powerful, it would have been quite a challenge to conquer them. Kal v'chomer, when you take a hard king and stick him in charge of a hard city, so kal v'chomer, which more so is going to be a double challenge, if the rise to the challenge. So I was thinking to myself, to give a shiur now about sugyas of Purim, we have a double challenge. So first of all, it's a Purim that falls out on a Friday. So Purim that falls out on a Friday is a hard sugya, a lot of complicated shilas that come up specifically this Purim that would have come up anytime Purim falls out on a Friday. It just hasn't been for quite some time. It's we can give a mixas techoma about the shilas of Purim that falls out on Friday, because when Purim falls out on Friday, it always will be our Pesach falling out on Shabbos, which is going to make the Purim on Friday shilas pale in terms of complications. So yes, Purim on Friday is its own sugya. We really could spend the whole day talking about that. Now, to make matters even more challenging and complicated, Purim during COVID is also not simple. Unfortunately, as we all know, we never have a little bit of experience in this, because some of the shilas are actually Nebuch repeat shilas from last year. But it's been already Yud Beis Chodesh, Yeshicha Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months have passed. So we have to review a little bit in terms of some of the nuances of COVID-related Purim issues. So you put these two things together, a Purim on a Friday together and a Purim with a COVID, and you have enough to talk about for a shiur. So what we try to do this year is we opened up to some questions, and I received a few shilas. I try to weave in the shilas and incorporate the shilas into what we want to speak a little bit tonight. We'll try to get to most of all the shilas and then a few other odds and ends, things that I think are important to keep in mind for this unique status of Purim this year. All of Hilchos Purim could really be broken down into two words. The two words appear in the Megillah: Niskarim v'Naasim. Vayom Ma'ila Niskarim v'Naasim. The days of Purim, the days in plural, because it refers to Yudalev and to Tezvav. Although if you think that Purim for us is complicated, wait till you speak to some of the people in Yerushalayim this year. It's even more complicated, because it's called the Purim of Shulash, but we'll touch a drop on that if it relates to us, but we'll keep focusing right now on our quote-unquote for the non-walled city people, which is probably most of us even on this call. Vayom Ma'ila Niskarim v'Naasim. The days of Purim are days of Zechira and days of Asiya. And it's those two words, Zechira and Asiya, that really summarize all of the halachos of Purim. Because all the mitzvahs ayom revolve around either being zeicher Yemei HaPurim or being oisel la'aseis asam Yemei HaPurim. So they're days of remembrance and days of observance. So when we speak about the first mitzvah of Hayom El Nizkarim V'Nasim, so Nizkarim refers primarily to the Kriyas HaMegillah, which are the word zocher in Chumash and Tanakh. In the context of halacha, doesn't just mean to think about, to remember, but it means actually to mention, almost like the word lahazkir. Vayom ha'il and nizkarim v'nasim, there's a mitzvah lahazkir sayyamim, and the zechir sayyamim has to take place specifically through the vehicle of Kriyas HaMegillah. But the mitzvah of nizkarim actually begins a little bit earlier. It actually precedes Purim this year by almost an entire week. And that's, of course, the mitzvah of zechira in terms of Parsha Zohar, zechir sa'molek. So although technically, they're really two different mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek and the mitzvah of Yom Ha'im Nizkarim V'Naasim. There clearly are certain similarities, or actually certain halachas that may be derived one from another. And of course, the way Chazal set it up is that the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar always takes place on the Shabbos preceding Purim. So just a quick note, even though the shiur is primarily about Yom Purim, but it's hard not to mention a little bit of Parsha Zohar as, of course, the prelude to Purim. So the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, is a mitzvah in HaTorah. Not everybody agrees to that. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah of Zechiris HaMolek min HaTorah, that's a pasuk in Chumash. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Zechiris HaMolek doesn't have a particular format and tzura of a Kriyas HaTorah that we're used to. The Rambam describes the mitzvah derais of Zechiris HaMolek as whenever you talk about HaMolek. Right now we're talking about HaMolek, so we're Yotze Zechiris HaMolek right now. But Tosus and the Rosh, the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion that the mitzvah of Zechiris HaMolek min HaTorah takes on a very, very specific format, and it requires a Sefer Torah in the context of Kriyas HaTorah. And that's, of course, what we do. So we treat this Shabbos, the Maftar of the Shabbos, as in a certain sense, the most important Kriyas HaTorah of the year. It's the Kriyas HaTorah that's Derais. It's for this reason that the Shulchan Aruch says that everyone should really, really try as hard as they can to come to shul for Kriyas HaTorah this Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch writes, even those people who live out in the kfarim, they live out in the villages and don't get a chance to come to shul that often. So it's more important for them to come to shul Parsha Zoch than to come on Purim. Because on Purim, they can read the Megillah B'Yechidus also. But Parsha Zoch, they won't be able to read B'Yechidus. So it's more important to make it to shul for Shabbos, or at least for the maftir of this week's Kriyas HaTorah. There is a machlekes aposkim, whether the mitzvah of Parsha Zochor is a mitzvah that is incumbent only upon men or even upon women. The custom in our communities is that the women try as much as they can to try to come for Parsha Zochor as well. It's for this reason that there are many communities, our shul included, but have the extra afterwards, Parshas Zohar laning, in order to enable even those women who are not able to make it out in terms of times of regular davening, but at least can make it up a little bit and hear a Parshas Zohar after davening is over. So that's a practice that many, many, many communities have. Not all shuls have that, but many shuls do have that practice. Sometimes you have a little bit of a complication of Parshas Zohar, namely a person isn't able to make it. So we unfortunately remember already from last year, that was the beginnings of the quarantines with Parshas Zohar. And unfortunately, no doubt there'll be some people who will not be able to attend Shulva Parsha Zohar this year as well. What do you do if a person can't make it to Parsha Zohar? So one possible option that some posts can say is that if they come to Shul on Purim and they hear Kriyas HaTorah on Purim, so the Kriyas HaTorah of Purim morning before the Megillah is the Yavo HaMolek, which is basically the story of HaMolek. So the Magen Avraham understood that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar with hearing Vayavo HaMolek if they have to. Others are not so sure. Mishnah Berurah is not sure whether that's correct or not. So if one is really stuck and that's the only option available to hear Parsha Zohar, so then one has to rely on those opinions that maintain that it would be acceptable. The Rama quotes another practice that if a person just cannot make it to shul for Parsha Zohar, they should at least take out a chumash, at least read, and they know how to lane with the trup. That's beautiful. If they don't know how to lane the trup, at least they should read the words, say the words, articulate the words. So according to many opinions, that would be sufficient even on a level of derais of the Torah mitzvah of Parsha Zohar, even though obviously the correct way to hear it, the proper way to hear it is with the Sefer Torah, with the Aliyahs, etc. But if one is extenuating circumstances, one could at least do that. So I would say for those who will not be able to make it to shul for Parsha Zohar, at least take out a chumash and read and speak out those words of Parsha Zohar, the last few psukim Parsha say. And then one who's able to make it to shul at least for a morning, that would be wonderful. If all else fails, so you have to wait till the summertime. So when you get the Parsha Kiseitzeh, so you'll hop around a little bit of Parsha Zohar at that point. So the mitzvah of Nisgarim refers to first and foremost, the Kriyas HaMegillah, and it was extended, the notion of Parsha Zohar, the introduction to Purim as well. So Nisgarim, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, so some of the issues that come up in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah are actually unique to this year. Some of them touch on the Friday aspect, some of them touch on the COVID aspect, and some of them touch on a little bit of a combination of the two. There is a question about Kriyas HaMegillah at night, whether one can be involved in any other activities before one technically hears the Megillah at night. Now, there's a general rule that one is not supposed to be involved in other activities, specifically eating, whenever a Zman HaMitzvah arrives. Let's say, for example, on a regular night, when it gets dark, it's supposed to daven Ma'ariv. So technically speaking, one is not really supposed to sit down and eat dinner before davening Ma'ariv. Or let's say, in Neres Hanukkah, one's not supposed to eat before lighting Neres Hanukkah, because chametz, anytime you have a mitzvah that's supposed to be done, specifically at night, so then one is really supposed to refrain from eating dinner before one performs that mitzvah. Nevertheless, many of us are very lenient about this all year long, particularly when it comes to Ma'ariv. And we assume that the reason for this prohibition is that lest a person forgets to do the mitzvah, and therefore if you have some kind of a system in place to remind you to do the mitzvah, then technically speaking it would be okay. So that's why many people rely on what's called kula, the leniency of minyan kavua. They always daven at the same minyan every night, so they're not going to forget to go to minor. Or even though one doesn't want to rely on that, or one doesn't necessarily daven at the same minyan every night, so one can rely perhaps on, you set the alarm on your phone, you set on your watch, you set something to remind you to not to forget to daven minor that night. So many people are lenient about this. So technically speaking, this should really be true when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah as well, when it comes to Neres Chanukah as well, when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, it's really all the same sugya. So somehow people get very, very nervous. I very rarely get a call on a regular Tuesday night, you know, Rabbi, I have to eat supper now, I'm not going to get to Maya after 10 o'clock, what do I do? But on Chanukah, you get hundreds of those calls. The truth is, it's really the same question. And the opposite is true. It's actually more serious for an irregular night of Maya, Kriyas Shema is a deraisa, and Neres Chanukah is only a derabanan. So it's a more serious shaila to forget to say Kriyas Shema than to forget to light Chanukah candles.
Join the meeting.
It's about people only get excited about the shaila on Chanukah because Chametz, Kriyas Megillah, etc. So again, Meikah, Meikah, Adin, one would be permitted to eat. Why? What's the great pressure to eat before the Megillah? Well, people are hungry because they fasted all day. So a person fasted all the whole day and now comes time to carry the Megillah. They want to take a bite, want to take a little something, a little drink. So Meikah, Adin really should be permissible. Nevertheless, there is an age-old practice that the post can quote that we try as much as possible not to eat, not to drink before Kriyas HaMegillah. Even though Me'ikra Din would really be mutter, again, someone's just a little tiny thing and it's you're going to remember to lay the Megillah anyway, up behind the minigis, unless there are extenuating circumstances, so the custom is to wait until after Kriyas HaMegillah before one eats and before one drinks. Sometimes extenuating circumstances can be for the Bakari himself. Sometimes Bakari is so dry in the mouth that it's hard for him to lay, so he needs a little drink, he needs something before, okay. So something that's pressing in order to enable the mitzvah to be done properly, okay. I always find myself as the Balkaire that it's significantly, I'm sure all the Balkaires feel, so it's significantly easier to lay in the Megillah on Matzah Shabbos, on purpose of Matzah Shabbos, than any other night of the week. The Shai just finished our Shudas an hour ago, so I'm full Kiyat HaMelech, quote from Megillah, Kiyat HaMelech, and it's not exactly the wine that they drank by the Megillah, but a Shtiach Hadas Eidonais had a good drink for Shal Shudas, so I'm good to go. But on a coming up for Titus Esther, it could be a little harder. So this year actually poses a significant challenge for many people because of scheduling of Kriyas HaMegillah, because of the space constraints that the many shuls are still have and should be observing still. So the problem becomes that just logistically, it's very hard to fit everybody into shul, which is going to lead to multiple Kriyas HaMegillahs. I know in our shul, I lost track already, but I think we're having, I guess some of the shul people, I think we're having 9 Kriyas HaMegillahs, if I'm not mistaken, spread out throughout different kufas of the night. So that's obviously a lot more than we usually have. We usually have one big Kriyas HaMegillah, then we have one for the women who later, and that's it. So we have to spread things out over the course of the evening. So there are going to be people who are not going to get to Kriyas HaMegillah until 9, 10 o'clock at night. So it's a little bit hard to ask them not to eat a drink till that point. So I think Meikah Adin, that one does not have to observe the minig under these kinds of circumstances. That the minig was instituted under normal circumstances. The minig was not instituted what we call a milsat lo shchicha, for abnormal circumstances. It was not in the normal mindset. There's going to come a time where we can't daven mayer like mentioned together. We have to dray and daven an hour later, it's a 16 minyanim in order to let everybody to daven safely. So that minute, that I think, doesn't apply. So those who are going to daven at the 8 o'clock slot, the 9 o'clock slot, 10 o'clock, whatever slot you're going to daven. So I think you can eat something before the Megillah, eat and drink before the Megillah, but you should set an alarm, set something that it shouldn't be a chashash, the same way like any other Meir of any other night, once you try to make sure they don't forget to do the mitzvah. Many people may have the same challenge in the daytime as well, that the way the timing of Kriyas HaMegillah is going to be is also going to be the same challenge in the morning, that we can't get everybody in at the same time. So we're going to have multiple minyanim. And as we get to in a moment, we're going to talk about the Zman of the Seuda. So the Zman of the Seuda may actually throw off some of the Zman of Kriyas HaMegillah, because we're going to see in a moment that many poskim prefer that one has the Seuda early in the day, not to detract from the Seuda Shabbos later in the evening. So that may force almost a situation where there are some people just logistically, all members of the family, will not have had a chance to hear the Megillah. And it's time for the Seuda. So what do you do?
Join the meeting.
No, the Megillah does say, Niskarim v'nasim, we like to have Zechira. It's nice to have the Megillah, hear the Megillah before you eat the Suda. It's nice, but it's not something that's not feasible. So this year, those who, for whatever reason, are not going to be able to hear the Megillah until later in the afternoon, that's okay. So they may have to eat their Suda in the morning, and they'll hear the Megillah later. They should, again, they should set a phone, set an alarm, set a something to remind them to not to forget to read the Megillah. I have this imagery in my mind when I was a teenager. So I used to, I first learned to lay in the Megillah right after my bar mitzvah. So I used to always lay in the Megillah for my grandma, Sholem. She would usually come to us for the Suda. And then I would, she was like, well, Sholem in the mornings, I would usually lay for the Megillah when she would come. So I remember one year it was a Purim that fell out on a Friday. And by the time she came to the house, it was time for the Suda. So it wasn't time enough time to stop 45 minutes to lay in the Megillah bar. So I told her, don't worry, we'll lay in the Megillah later. We have a whole day to lay in the Megillah, whole day till Shabbos starts. So I still have that imagery in my mind, sitting with my grandmother. It was right for Lech Benching. It was about 40 minutes for Lech Benching. That's, I didn't need more than 40 minutes. I didn't lay in the Megillah faster than 40 minutes. So I remember she was sitting, all dressed for Shabbos. I was sitting at the table, all dressed for Shabbos. The candles were set up. Literally, Shabbos is about, it was 4:15. It was Kriyas HaMegillah. That's it. The Mishnah says, Maseches Megillah, that Kol Yom Kosher Kriyas HaMegillah. So as long as you finish the Megillah by Shkia, you're good to go. I wouldn't push it to the last second. But again, this year, so it may complicate people's schedules a little bit. So they should always be aware that they can still lay in the Megillah.
Join the meeting.
Till Shabbos actually starts. So of course, the most complicated part of this year's playing out of the mitzvahs is the mitzvah of the Asi itself, which is the mitzvah of Seuda. As the Gemara Megillah tells us, there's a chiyuv, a special obligation to have a Seuda on Purim. It's a real din to have a Seuda on Purim. And this poses a real challenge because on the one hand, we want to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha and Seuda on Purim proper, and the other hand, we don't want to detract from Shabbos. Shabbos is right around the corner, a couple of hours. So how do we juggle both? So we have to understand two things. We have to understand what makes up a Seuda's Purim in the first place, and then to try to figure out when
join the meeting.
So what makes up a Seuda's Purim? So the Rambam writes very clearly that one is required to have Basa V'Yayin at a Seuda's Purim. The Rambam in general holds that all Seuda's Yom Tovs require Basa V'Yayin. Not everyone agrees in Talmud to that, but when it comes to Purim, the Rambam writes this way, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume this way as well. Although Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it absolutely explicitly, there is one line in Shulchan Aruch that appears to accept this idea of the Rambam, that there is a requirement to have Basa V'Yayin. The Seuda's Purim is merely supposed to be fleishiks. When we speak about Basar, both in terms of Purim as well, in terms of Yom Tov, according to many, there is a further question to Poskim where the Basar is defined by, literally by red meat, by beside the Hema, by beef, by lamb, things like that, or even poultry, even chicken, turkey, would also suffice for the mitzvah of Basar. So the Yesh V'Yesh are different opinions about this. There are some who are machmir, those who are strict, who insist on having a little bit of meat. Not so much meat. It's the watch, hella healthy, watch the cholesterol.
Join the meeting.
A little bit of meat if they can, to try and have a little piece of meat for the Seuda's Purim. The Rambam describes under the scope right now in terms of what exactly that means, and anyone's heard Shuma me in the past knows fully well that the view that I always quote, the view of the Ramah, it says that one is not supposed to literally get drunk on Purim, one's supposed to drink a very, very small amount, a cup of wine or a vase of wine, the derech ha-suda, and then take a nap. So that's really the optimal way, and it's really, in a sense, the only way that we should encourage people to be yotze in the mitzvah of a yayin on Purim. So there should be most of a yayin, but the yayin has to be a significant moderation, should be kedas v'chadin, the way the Ramah and the
people. Yeah.
Join the meeting.
Not be doing anything that would be inappropriate, anything of any real drinking in any serious manner. So that's the psak that we have that tradition, that's for Ramon, that's for Shabur Paskins, and that's what we should be telling everybody as well. Having wine itself is limited to those who are legally at the age of drinking. Those who are not permitted by law to be drinking at that age, they should be giving grape juice. There are some Paskins who say that grape juice would suffice for this bit as well. So under extenuating circumstances, those who for whatever reason cannot drink wine, so should have a little bit of grape juice at the Seuda. This year, actually, the Seuda is almost a little bit easier to fulfill in terms of what the Ramah qualifies as Ad Lo Yada. When the Ramah speaks about drinking wine, Ad Lo Yada, in the Ramah, and we paskin, that means to drink a little bit, a cup of wine, and then to fall asleep. So in a regular year, that becomes a little bit complicated. When this sleeping is supposed to take place, most people in a regular year, so their suda is later in the afternoon. By the time they're getting down to laying down, after the suda, Purim's over already. So that's a big, big shiloh. What do you do about that? So there are different opinions about maybe you should have a little bit more before the suda, maybe you should take a nap. But you have to, a lot of different eights what to do. This year, Purim on Friday, it's actually
join the meeting.
It's easier than other years. It's very easy to time your nap because we'll see in a moment, since the suda should be much earlier, you have plenty of time to take a nap. All the men should not think that means they don't have to help their wives in the afternoon get ready for Shabbos. The mitzvah achana for Shabbos is the mitzvah deraisa, the chinos shaviyah, so it's more important than the nap on Purim. But when efshel lekayim shneim, so once you have the Purim suda, have the little cup of wine, take the short nap. It's elu dvarim she'elam shir. It doesn't have to be a 3-hour nap. You can save that for Shabbos, but don't say that you don't have to sleep 3 hours in Shabbos either. But the little nap should be just for a few minutes. It should be out quote unquote adul yada, and then you can get up and help everybody else in the family get ready for Shabbos. So the Purim suda this year really should be the same.
Join the meeting
as any other year. So Shabbos of Yayin. There is a question whether you actually have to wash the Purim suda.
Join the meeting. Yes.
So therefore, one should make sure to wash for the Purim suda as well. So one should not take the attitude, well, let's have Shabbos, so we're just going to be a little skimpy. We're not going to have a real suda. No, that's not right. One is supposed to have a full Purim suda this year as well. However, the time of the Purim suda is a little bit more complicated because generally on Erev Shabbos, we really don't like to have meals late in the afternoon. Because for sure that's going to detract from Kavod Shabbos, and especially a nice, fancy, out of the ordinary kind of meal would definitely be inappropriate under normal circumstances. But Purim is not a normal circumstance, not a normal day. So therefore, the Ramon recommends that the best way to swing the Purim Suda is to have it in the morning. And in the morning, halachically means before Chatzos. So the Ramon says that one should start the Suda. The Ramon doesn't say to finish the Suda, but the Ramon says have the Suda. So presumably that means to start the Suda before Chatzos. So that's the proper practice. So Chatzos is approximately 12:10, depending on exactly where your location is. You check on your Ma'izmanim, you check on your Luach, I'm sure the Shul will be sending out Zmanim. So it's approximately in our area around the 12:10. So one should try to have the Suda at that point. Because one is starting the Suda earlier, that throws off a little bit Mincha. We usually have the mindset that you daven Mincha before you have the Suda. That's on a regular year. The appropriate thing to do is daven Mincha first. Specifically because you're going to drink a little bit, even though no one's going to be drinking a lot, but even just a little bit is a shiloh, whether even a lot of daf mincha, if the person just had a cup of wine. So therefore, we always have the practice. And actually, we always have the early mincha, usually 1:30 or so. And then later in the afternoon, people go home and they have their sudas. This year, you can't have mincha at 12:10 for chatzos. So the earliest daf mincha would be closer to 40. You're already in the middle of your suda.
Join the meeting.
I would recommend that those who are doing their suda early, like the Ramah recommends, so push off mincha till later. So mincha is daven like right before Kabbal Shabbos. That you should like a regular Friday afternoon. It's probably not the best idea to daven mincha. Like some people like daven mincha gedola, like at the earliest time. It's not such a great idea to daven mincha middle of the yisuda, because especially if a person even had a little bit of wine, it's not really appropriate to be davening at that point. So mincha, wait a couple of hours later, daven mincha at a later point. So again, so the pashas in the halacha is that one should at least be beginning the suda before chatzos. The Ramah doesn't mention, Rishabu doesn't mention to finish the suda before chatzos. So some posts can say, you can keep on going past chatzos, you should try to finish the suda by what's called samach l'mincha ketana. So samach l'mincha ketana is significantly later in the day. You have to check again on your luach, but in our area, it's close to 3 o'clock. So you're starting your suda at 12.
Join the meeting.
Your suda is going more than 3 hours. Call a kavod to you, but I'm not sure who's still serving food at that time. I think at that point, most of the women are trying to get the children ready at that point, and the men are trying to help clean up a little bit. Men could also be making the children. They know how to cook. I just can only speak about what goes on in my house. You know, I have a mesorah from my Rebbe, from Rebbe Willie. You know, the Gemara says that men are supposed to help and participate in the preparations for Shabbos. So the Gemara says that the Amoraim used to prepare the fish and the food. And
join the meeting.
They knew how to do. They would prepare to as the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So whatever you prepare on Friday is Kavod Shabbos. Eating the food is Onik Shabbos. So Rebbe Willie used to say that he does a lot. He does the shopping. He doesn't do the cooking. Why? He's not such a good cook. So he said that for him to fulfill Kavod Shabbos at the expense of everybody else's Onik Shabbos is not fair. So why should you ruin the meal for everybody else? Let his wife, she knows how to make the shulam better. He knows how to buy the beans and potatoes. So I'm good at that also. I know how to buy beans. I even know how to peel potatoes, but I don't
join the meeting
in terms of cooking the shulam. So everyone should do what they're cut out for, what they do well. So the bottom line is that if our students are starting before Chatzelos, they're probably going to be finished, I imagine, way before Somach u'Mincha Ketana. There is another practice in terms of timing the Purim Seudah, which is apparently a popular practice in Yerushalayim. It's those who are closer to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach have reported to us that that was a practice in his home. Purim on a Friday in Yerushalayim is much, much more common because Shushan Purim, it's almost every other year, falls out on a Friday. It's very, very common for us to have a Purim on a Thursday, which always means Yerushalayim has a Purim on Friday very, very often. For us, it's like an anomaly to have, you know, a Purim on a Friday, but Yerushalayim is fairly common. So apparently that many have the practice, what the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, what's called the Peiris Mapu Makadesh. The Gemara talks about the person is in the middle of a Suda on Friday afternoon. They sat down in the middle of having an Hashem Brachas, and a Bris, whatever, they're having some big Suda on Friday afternoon, and they keep on going, all of a sudden Shabbos starts. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, what you do is like this. You stop eating, eat off the bench, you stop your eating for a minute, you cover over the bread, cover over the challah, you make Kiddush, and then uncover the challah and continue going. So Paris Papa Makadish. So your Friday Suda just turned into your Shabbos Suda. So in this case, your Purim Suda just turned into your Suda Shabbos. So there are those who have followed that practice. Again, those who have that specific tradition, follow their Rebbeim, follow their tradition. For those of us who don't have that practice, so I think that our minhag in our communities was never really like that. I remember as a boy, a few times Purim fell out on Friday. I never remember anybody doing Paris Papa Makadish in America. But it's become a little bit more popular in America as a kind of extension of that minhag in Yerushalayim. But again, those who have that tradition, they follow their Rebbeim. Those who don't follow the more conventional, more standard approach of doing what we said, having the Suda like the Ramah says, having it primarily at least starting before Chatzos. Those who do follow the practice of Paras Papa Makadesh, so there are a few technical luchos brachos questions they have to iron out. The post can discuss about if a person already made a bar priya gofen during his Purim Suda, half hour ago, and made a bar priya gofen on wine. Now he's going to make Kiddush. How's he going to make another bar priya gofen? His original bar brachon is still intact. So it's a very, very modern Kiddush. You're going to make Kiddush without bar priya gofen. They say about chulu, and then he said Makadosh Shabbos. Because bar priya gofen is not really an integral part of Kiddush. Bar priya gofen is just, well, you're going to drink the wine, so you have to make a bar priya gofen. So I already made a bar priya gofen 20 minutes ago when I was drinking my Purim wine. So according to many posts, you don't have to make a new bar priya gofen. And it could be enough to make a new amotzi either. There's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, a lot of sfeikus and shilas about the intricacies of Paras Mapu Makadosh. I've never personally ever done Paras Mapu Makadosh.
Joanne Elman.
Join the meeting.
I was only in Yerushalayim one time for when it was a Purim, when it was a Shushan Purim. No, actually twice. I'm sorry, twice. I was two of my years in Eretz Yisrael. So it turned out it was a Purim that was on Thursday, and then Yerushalayim was a Friday. So the first year, I actually went to Yerushalayim on the night after Purim, the night of Shushan Purim, the kunst to try to be mechayev yourself twice in Kriyas HaMegillah. That's a very complicated lumdish thing. So I ended up really with 2 days of Purim. So I remember that day, my Purim suit, I actually had, there was a bris that I was invited to that Friday morning. And Rav Gutzman, the Tzadik Lebracha, was the Shiva Netzach Israel, those who know from Rechavia. So Rav Gutzman was at that bris, and the bris Suda was the Purim Suda. So it wasn't, not only was it before Chatzos, it was 7:30 in the morning. It was right after davening, the Kriya Samgil, they did bris, it's at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we sat down and had a full fleishik meal, and that was the bris, that was the Suda's Purim, that was the whole nine yards. The next time, I went back a couple of years later, I was again back in Eretz Yisrael for a Purim on a Friday, Shushan Purim on a Friday. Then I already, I didn't bother going the night before. I went the morning of Shushan Purim, so I wasn't even Chaya, but the family I was going to be Shabbos was having their Purim Suda, so they did it in the morning, like before Chatzos. So I never had that opportunity. I never ever remember myself doing a Paras Mapu Makadosh. But those who are doing it, so there are different opinions about when to make brachas, and many say, no Bar Priya Gofen, no new hamotzi, everything just continue, and you roll right into your from your Siddur Purim, becomes in effect transformed to become your Siddur Shabbos. Even though the mitzvah of Na'asim primarily refers to the Suda, there are other parts of Asiya that take place as well, one of them being a Mishloach Manos. So on a regular year, so sometimes during the course
join of the meeting,
it's a Mishloach Manos. So this year, Mishloach Manos is going to be a little complicated on many fronts, both in terms of safety fronts and in terms of Friday fronts. So in terms of safety fronts, so everyone should follow the proper safety guidelines, and you can yell to Mishloach Manos. There's nothing wrong with bringing Mishloach Manos to somebody, but you know, lav dafka, this is the year for, you know, very often a person brings Mishloach Manos, you bring him to the house, you give him a hug, you dance around, you have a rikud with 20 people together. That's probably, definitely not the thing to be doing this year. One can just simply bring the Mishloach Manos and leave them and wish everyone, Freilich HaPurim. But this year, Mishloach Manos gets a little bit complicated just in terms of timing, because usually we have all the time in the world. In the morning, after Kriyas HaMegillah, you usually start distributing Mishloach Manos, and then by the time Mincha rolls around, by the afternoon, you're done with Mishloach Manos already. Now it's time for the Suda. Now everything is crunched together. You know, so much time later. Got to take a shower for Shabbos, you got to clean the house, you got to cook for Shabbos. So everything's going to be, crunched up a little bit. So you may find yourself running into a tight schedule in terms of Mishloach Manos. Technically speaking, Mishloach Manos, like the other mitzvahs HaYom, could be given any time throughout the day. So one should try to remember to give, you have to at least give one set of Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos, two foods to one person. Yeah, but else a person wants to give, that's fine. But one should make sure to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. There's an interesting machlekes haposkim. Should Mishloach Manos be is it better, is it optimally given before the Suda or after the Suda? So someone argue, maybe it's better to give it dafka before the Suda, because you shouldn't sit down to eat before you do a mitzvah. You mechuyev in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And others wanted to argue the opposite. So I think Rabbi Sternberg, if I'm not mistaken, right the first way, and they quote from the Rav the second way, that maybe it's better to have the Suda first, because the Rambam describes Mishloach Manos as Mechalek Mesudas Lecheirim, that you eat your Suda, and then you take part of your Suda, and you spread it out and you share with others. So if I didn't eat my Suda yet, how am I sharing my Suda with somebody? So Maisa, neither one of these two practices are absolutely critical. And in a regular year, most people are not so careful one or the other. And whatever it is, either before or after, sometime during the day, one should give Mishloach Manos. So tachlis bottom line is one shouldn't forget to give the Mishloach Manos either before or after. And even with the slight, time constraints, one should try to remember to give the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Matanas Levyonim, one has to also be careful to remember to give Matanas Levyonim. Some of us, many of us, give Matanas Levyonim through different organizations and different ways that distribute the money on Purim itself. That's perfectly legitimate. So one should just make sure that the money that one is actually giving is really being distributed on Purim. So then many of the organizations, they advertise and they're doing it properly. Just make sure that you're giving to an organization. If that's your Matanas Levyonim, if you're already yotzei in a different way and you want to just give more tzedakah, but if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of two matanos, you have to give two of yonim. So I want you to make sure that those matanos of yonim are being distributed on Purim day proper. Whenever one gives an Eretz Yisrael, so it's always a little bit tricky. So just to make sure that the timing of the matanos line up with when it's Purim for us. So on a regular year, when Matanos Levyonim of Seder Yishalayim were distributed on Tezvav, so that gets a little bit tricky. Whether if I'm a Yudalit person and Matanos Levyonim being distributed on Tezvav, that's a machlokes. Shlomo Zalman said you could be yotzei through that. Others weren't so sure. The different opinions this year. So Matanos Levyonim were all distributed on Yudalit, even Yishalayim, Kafes Chomer, the walled cities. So everything is distributed on Yudalit anyway. So again, once you just whatever organization they're using, just make sure that organization is distributing the advertising and being supervised properly, that the Matanos Levyonim are being distributed properly. If the Purim is over, so then we just lead right into Shabbos. So we should never use the term, it's a regular Shabbos. No, Shabbos is not regular, Shabbos is special. But this Shabbos is even more special because it happens to also be Shushan Purim. So again, in Yerushalayim, it's the real Purim. It's the real Bava Yom. It's a very, very funny Bo Bayom in Yerushalayim because a lot of the mitzvahs you can't do. Kriyas HaMegillah is bumped up to Friday because you're not allowed to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. We're afraid you're going to carry the Megillah, like Shofar, like Lulav. So the Dafka don't lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. They lay in it on Friday, even though it's not really Purim. It's a little bit funny. So I know my son's in Yerushalayim now, so I was just talking to him about it. It's a very, very strange setup that it's called a Purim Shulash. So Friday, lay in the Megillah, but it's not really Purim. Shabbos is really Purim. That's when you say Al Anisim. That's when you lay in Vayov HaMolek as the Maftir. And the Haftar is the same Haftar of Pasha Zochav. So modern, strange setup. And the Sud is a big Machlag. Some say the Sud is on Shabbos. And some say the Sud is on Sunday. So you want to be here to everybody. So in Yerushalayim, many people have the minute. They have both. They have the Sud of Shabbos is also a Shtikl Sud is Purim. They make a little bit of Purim Dik. And then they have the real Sud the next day on Sunday as well. then the distributing Mishloach Manos is also a question exactly when, you know, distribute only on Sunday and give something on Shabbos. It gets a little complicated in terms of Mishloach Manos. But you end up with three full days of a Zah celebration spread throughout. For us, outside of Yerushalayim, outside the walled cities, so Shabbos is a regular Shushan Purim. So what is the significance of a regular Shushan Purim? A few things. So you wouldn't say Tachlan and Shushan Purim. So we don't say Tzitkoscha. We don't make Kiyomola. It's things that are usually associated with days of no Tachlan. So we wouldn't do that on Shushan Purim as well. There are a little bit of a suit that the poskim write. There should be marv, a little something on Shushan Purim. Say make a little bit special on Shabbos. Keep a little bit of the Shabbos spirit. A little bit of the Purim spirit spreads into Shabbos as well. But just a few interesting odds and ends. Shabbos. Somebody asked me a question about whether is the Megillah Muktzah on Shabbos for us. I mean, the answer is no, because the mice you can read from it, Kisvei HaKodesh. I'm not sure what you would be doing with it exactly. The program's over already. So, but if you want to get ready for next year, so then theoretically you could take a peek at the Megillah over Shabbos as well. I was asked about eating the leftover food from Purim and Shabbos. As we call it Marba Reza Meshubach, eat it now or hold on to it till Erev Pesach. So if you have any room left, so you can eat it. You can eat Hamatash. With the Eved, you can eat Hamatash. You know. The it says in the Gemara, V'lo Yavor, it says it's counting in the Pasuk of Megillah, you can't lay the Megillah after this man. That's why when you can't lay the Megillah for the walled cities, you can't lay on Shabbos, so we don't push you off till Sunday, because V'lo Yavor, you're not allowed to delay V'lo Yavor, you're not allowed to delay Purim. So there's Machlekes HaPoskim, whether the din of V'lo Yavor applies to the Suda or not. So that's what the Machlekes is. Some say you have to have the Suda on Shabbos, it lays braver, because V'lo Yavor, and others say V'lo Yavor is only on the Kriyas of Megillah, it's not going on the Suda. But Kuliyamu, please, it's not going on the Hamitash. So you want to eat Hamitash, you have to Purim. Gay goes on the hate. According to some, it may be in the midst of the rice of Tashbisu of destroying Chametz already, according to the Balamor. But that's we have another time, another place. So whatever leftovers you want to eat, you want to eat. Somebody asked me a question about the Borer Shailas. We know that one of the favorite activities in the house on Motzoi Purim is to start sorting out all the Shalach Manas. So you should save that for Malaf Malka. Save that for after Shabbos. Shabbos is not the time to start being bayir, which is a good shalach manos, which is a bad shalach, not such good shalach manos, the bad hamantash, not such good hamantash. I don't want to get involved in insulting anyone's hamantash. We don't want to get involved in any bayir shailas. So just leave everything in place. Enjoy whatever you want to eat. Enjoy your shushan purim, etc. So I just want to close with a little bit of a divrei machshav, a little bit of divrei chizuk as well. You know, we start off by saying it's a challenge to have a purim on the front. It's true. But Baruch Hashem, every challenge in life is a great opportunity also. And there is a really unique opportunity to go from four moments into Shabbos. And it really echoes what the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim. It's actually Gemara, those who learned that Yom, we just did it not that long ago. The Gemara tells us that there was one Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, whose opinion was that theoretically you're allowed to fast on Yom Tov. We happen not to pasta. We'll be pasting after the Suda and Yom Tov. But Rabbi Eliezer said, if a person really, really wants to just daven and learn all day Yom Tov and not even partake in Suda, he technically can do that. But there are a couple of days of the year that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees one must partake of a Suda. The Gemara singles out 4 days. One is Shabbos. You can't fast on Shabbos, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. One is Purim. One is Shavuos. And one is Erev Yom Kippur. Those are the 4 days. And it's not clear exactly what the common denominator between these 4 days is. Shabbos, the Gemara says, because the Shabbos, you have to eat, what can you do? You have to eat a Suda, you have to have any Shabbos. Erev Yom Kippur, so the Torah says, it's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur, so you have no choice. When it comes to Purim, you have no choice. When it comes to Shavuos, Manishtan Shavuos from Pesach and Sukkot, according to Eliezer, you could technically not eat on Pesach, so Manishtan Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Yom Shin Nitar Yisrael. It's a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah, what are you going to do? You have to have a Suda. What does that mean? It's a day of Kabbalah Satorah, definitely have a Suda. What does that mean? So many of the Darshanim say that the common denominator of these 4 days is these 4 days are all related in a certain sense to Briyas HaOlam. They're all the affirmation of Briyas HaOlam. They're all the conclusion of Briyas HaOlam. Shabbos is, of course, the conclusion of Briyas HaOlam. Briyas HaOlam, my separation, for sure. Chazal say, and Rashi quotes, the Erev Yom HaShishi, that the whole world, all of Briyas HaOlam, was Talib Yaimed, it was all dependent upon, will Klaisol accept Yom HaShishi? Will they accept upon themselves Vav Sivan? Will they accept the Torah? If they say Nasim Nishma and they makabel the Torah, then the world has a purpose. And Lav, if not, Chayz L'Tayvavo, when the whole world ceases to exist. In L'Brisi Yom V'Layel L'Chuk Shemai Bar Sosam, if not for Tamei Torah, for Shmiras HaMitzvahs, there's no point. If not for the Bris with Klaisol, there's no point of a world. The whole world was created Vracious, Mishru Racious, Mishru Torah Shinil Yisrael. So comes Kabbalah Satorah and is a key of my Sebracious. Shavuos is a celebration of my Sebracious. Shavuos was a great Kabbalah Satorah that lasted for 40 days. And then it was demolished, but the Luchos were broken to be reenacted on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was Shavuos part two. It was the Luchos Shnias. It was the Luchos that we have Ad Hayom Hazeh. It's the second Kabbalah Satorah. The first Kabbalah Satorah was broken. But the second Bris, the Bris of Yom Kippur, that's the Bris, that's Kabbalah Satorah. For us, the Gemara tells us that even the Kabbalah Satorah of Yom Kippur wasn't complete until Purim. Because even by Yom Kippur, there wasn't an absolute, full, and complete Kabbalah Miratzah. Yeah, there was an Asad Nishma and Shavuos, yeah, but it wasn't absolutely. It was Kaflim Hakigis, there was a little bit of coercion. And it only came hundreds and hundreds of years later in Purim, Kima B'Kim Lehudim, when Klai Yisrael finally, the grand finale of Kabbalah Satorah concluded on Purim. So what started on Shavuos and went up a notch in Yom Kippur reached its the climax of the Kabbalah Satorah of Kibbutz Kibbutz Lehudim at the time of Purim. Whenever there's a Kabbalah Satorah, there's a key of my Sebracious, because my Sebracious totally the only bit of Kabbalah Satorah, Bishru Racious, Racious, Bishru Racious. If that's the case, now we understand. What is a Suda? A Suda is very Gashmis, it's very Elam Hazah. A suda is taking all the kaychas of the sheshes membranes. You take the meat of the animals, and you take the chicken, and you take the fruit, you take the vegetables, you take the grain, you take the peres adoma, you take all the fruits of my sebracious, and you elevate and have a suda to celebrate my sebracious. A suda is the celebration of the creation of the world. And there are 4 days of the year where you must celebrate Bria Soilu. Must. Not negotiable. Every weekend Shabbos, there must be a celebration of my Sebracious, and my Sebracious has to be celebrated with my Sebracious. You're going to sit and learn in Davin and say, tell them that's beautiful, but you have to celebrate with the challahs, with the wines, with the bread, with the kugel, with the kishka, with the cholo, with the desserts. You have to celebrate my Sebracious. Because Baruch Hu created the world for us to have, celebrate it with the Shabbos. And that celebration repeats itself on the Yontif of Shavuos, according to all opinions. And then, Erev Yom Kippur, and then it reaches the grand finale of the Suda's birth. So there's a common denominator, there's a theme, there's a thread that connects all four of these days. What greater way to go into Shabbos? This Shabbos coming up is not just a Shabbos. It's a Purim the Shabbos. It's a Shushan Purim Shabbos. It's coming off the heels of a Suda's Purim, whether you formally first Papa Makadish, or whether you finish a Suda Chatzais, not to detract from Suda Shabbos. But at the end of the day, you're going from the Suda's Purim, from the Yontif of Purim, into the Yontif, into the celebration of Shabbos.
Bring up to Nasi.
You're going from Diskorn V'Nasim to Zocha V'Shom V'Diberecha Nemru. A great way to lead into Shabbos. So we have, yes, it's a little bit challenging and a little bit dancing around a little bit, some of the technicalities. Whoa, Diskorn V'Nasim, we have the opportunity to do it. Let's not forget that. Madach Shabbos, which is so chabur, Shabbos is in the hierarchy of halacha. Shabbos is a million times more chabur than Purim, and yet v'chay b'hem pikuach nefesh, sofer pikuach nefesh is doyche kol tarkul, including Shabbos. Kavachaymer ben benoishet kavachaymer that v'chay b'hem has to govern how we celebrate Purim as well, so it could be a beautiful, wonderful azah simchas tikkun Purim, maybe a little bit different, maybe a little bit different nuance, perhaps slightly different this year in Yeshiva. They're doing a beautiful, beautiful thing in Yeshiva. There's a special learning Seder in the Beis Medrash, like the Beis Medrash and Yeshiva set up in a way we're functioning right Rosh Hashanah the entire year this way, with our social distance, with our mask, the Kedas, Chadin, V'chai B'hem. There's night Seder in the Beis Medrash, a special, we never had such an opportunity. Every year we have Mesibas and Chagikas and everything. We have a very, very limited opportunity to do that in its glory. So, Kima v'Kibla Yehudim. So, every Purim has its own kunst to it. So, maybe the Purim of Toshin Pei Aleph It's a Friday Purim, so it's going to be a little bit less of some of the levadic and wild and some of the jumping and running and bouncing around that takes place later in the day of Purim. So it'll be a little bit less of that, but it'll be a little bit more of Limud HaTorah, maybe a little bit more Matanos Avyayinim, a little bit more of Gemilas Chasodim, to reaching out and to giving the Bechizot to Ish Yisrael. And maybe it'll give me a little bit more of a Ruchnias to Kippurim that could lead us into a Shabbos Kodesh. So yes, it may be a little bit of a difficult navigation in terms of the intricacies of the halachas. But the Purim of Toshin Pei Aleph, of all Leilu Toiva, we only get one time in history, Purim Toshin Pei Aleph. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is Goyze, it should look the way it is. On a Friday, we still have our challenges in terms of health and safety. So Kachaze, so we should have the Siyad Dishmaya. It should be a time of great Sasa V'Simcha, the Hidim HaSa'ar V'Simcha, the days of Purim, leading into the days of Pesach, should be Zmanas of Geula. Geula from the present tzaras that we're in, and Geula for all the tzaras, and Geula for Klal Yisrael, and Geula for the entire world. So we should only have wonderful, wonderful days of Sasa V'Simcha. That should be a nice.
Amen.